Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, here we are. This is the RotoWire Fantasy DFS show for DraftKings. I'm Adam Zdroik, joined by Jordan Cooper, Ryan Belongi. We're back for another season. We're talking Saturday's four-game slate. We talked with Ryan last week. Jordan, how have you been the last couple months? Are you ready for the new season? I saw you went on a trip over the weekend. You're enjoying some other sports, but are you ready for soccer now?
Well, this show now has all the medals of King of the Pitch, right? We have a gold medal winner, and then we have a silver and bronze medal winner. So even though I'd prefer the one gold, I'll take the silver and bronze here and there. I listened to the show. Of course, you could have talked for an hour on your King of the Pitch lineups. I only had one lineup. So if you saw my lineup was kind of nutsy.
Yeah.
Right. I mentioned on the show before when we did it is that I'm going to try to find people that could score two goals that are going to be at single digit owned and play as many of them as possible.
And you got close, right? You had Havertz and Nketiah and they scored first, both of them. And yeah.
And then instead of playing Phillips, I play Saul on Chelsea to pair up with, basically I'm trying to pair people up. So I went with Chelsea and Arsenal. Of course, my Arsenal players were Nketiah and Saka, and you played Martinelli and Odegaard. So it would have been better the other way. And then I still played Cedric because I was playing Arsenal. And of course, I played Robertson over Trent, and Robertson scored a goal and actually beat out Trent's score. So I was looking good like 20 minutes into the slate. And then Tottenham showed up.
You were looking good. Like 20 minutes into the slate, I saw you up there and I looked at your lineup and I was like, man, Jordan's got some guys that if they get a brace or a hat trick, he's got a chance.
This is how sick my lineup was. The only player in my lineup, and remember, there's like a 200-man contest. The only player that was over 20% owned was Cedric in my lineup. And five out of the eight players in my lineup were single-digit owned.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up coming in I think 37th or something at the end, because then everyone else, then everything happens. Then Tottenham happen and everything comes through. And then Chelsea decide to just go, we're good with 1-0.
Right.
I wouldn't have changed that. But the thing is, people ask me afterwards, I wouldn't have changed a damn thing.
No, I like that strategy when you only have one lineup, especially.
Right. With seven lineups like you had. I heard, I know we're on different ends of the spectrum. You go for a little bit more high variance. You more go for, I'm going to just have core plays and then rotate. And I'm much more likely to go by, teams. So, if I, for instance, this coming slate coming up, for just in GPP, it's the first episode after a while back. When it comes to GPPs, obviously, I play primarily cash. And you play primarily GPP, but of course I play GPPs also. But my GPP lineups more go by angles. Right. I try to find leverage. So if everyone's playing Trent Alexander-Arnold, I'm playing Andrew Robertson. If everyone's playing 9K whatever forward, I'm playing. If everyone's playing Kane, I'm playing Kulishevsky. If I, doing that type of stuff, and then pairing them with like two other people from their team. So I want Tottenham to win 3-0, but Kane doesn't score any of the goals, right? It's Doherty, Kulusevski, and Son. And no one has that combination because they're either playing Son and Kane together or they're doing something else. Like, they're doing something else. So, like, finding those types of combinations rather than, I'll play 12 lineups and have Lucas Digne in all 12 of them.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm more likely to say, well, if, let's say Aston Villa score, maybe I'm playing Matt Cash plus Ollie Watkins while everyone else has Digne and Coutinho. That type of thing.
I think, yeah, both strategies are, I mean, both strategies are good. Both strategies can work, you know. It's tougher for me with soccer. Like, I've been so good at, like, predicting who the best scorers are that it's hard not for me to play that style. But if you're not predicting who has the highest floor and who's scoring goals more often than not, yeah, you could lose a lot of money. Playing a high variance style with like a core set of plays. I mean,
you get an injury in the 12th minute and you like,
and that happens. Whereas like you're making lineups that can like you said, angles and they're good, you know, from a game theory perspective and they win tournaments, you know, you might win less often, but it's probably easier to win first place with that style.
Right. Cause if I have five lineups, I have like, okay, this one is for this angle and this one is for that angle. And if one of them happens, one of them comes in first and the other comes in last.
Right.
Like you have lineups where they're a little bit more bunched together because it's like you're playing a lot of the like three or four guys in most of your lineups and then rotating everything around there. Me, I'll have some lineups with like out of your core. Like the thing is, your core is in my cash lineup. So it's not like I'm rooting against it because most of my money, 90% of my money is in that one lineup anyway.
Right.
It's like, hey, if the chalk comes in and if Ryan wins a GPP with a two-player differential, I probably swept all my cash games, but probably bombed in GPP. But if my cash game lineup does bad, you probably did bad, but I have a shot at a GPP because my GPP lineups don't look like my cash lineup.
Right. I mentioned last week that there's plenty of slates where, you know, I'll completely blank and lose 90%, 100%, you know, ROI, and then other slates where I'll, you know, smack four or five lineups in the top 10 and have a couple of chances to win. So works both ways.
All right, guys, we're talking Saturday slate here. As we, you know, you guys discuss your overall strategies here, you mentioned Kane, you mentioned Son. So we'll just jump into general cash talk here. We have Tottenham here, 2.14 implied goal total. Jordan, for cash games, what do you think the play is going to be? Do you think the majority of people are going to have – they're going to have at least one of those guys in there? Do you think they're going to play both of those forwards, Kane and Son, together?
I think both of them together in cash games is the wrong move. I this may be crazy. I don't think Son is even necessary. He's the safest player. Like, at 11.9K – it's heavy, but he's the monopoly set piece taker on the biggest favorite on the slate. And he also scores tons of goals and gets assists also. It's not like, it's like, oh, he's like a midfielder that, you know, takes all their set pieces. Like, no, like he's also the top scorer on the team. It's just the price is prohibitive. Like if Son only scores 16 points, like you don't need him, but you'd love the 16 points. I mean, for cash games, I'd still love the 16 points in a forward spot. So I lean more towards the side of playing Son in cash, but there are constructions if you go right down the middle where Son may not even be necessary. So like, I think he's going to be popular. He's definitely going to be popular in all formats, but I can't see how you're paying 11K plus for two forwards in cash. There's just not enough. There's not enough the midfield value on the slate. We have multiple defenders that I want to pay up for. So, like, what type of lineup am I making by playing a goal-dependent Kane? I've made my living on fading Kane. So, like, I have no problem. Like, I don't see any reason in cash that you play Kane over Son. So, to me, it's just a question of do you play Son or not?
Yeah. Ryan, so for tournaments, you mentioned in your article, check that out, rotowire.com. You mentioned, I guess Jordan also mentioned it, probably the GPP move, Kulishevsky, because everyone's going to Kane and Son. I mean, it's hard to project, you know, percentages and everything. Kulishevsky's a midfielder here. But what do we think, like Kulishevsky, 15% in tournaments? Is that too low? Or
yeah, man, I'm not good at projecting these ownerships, but I mean, that's, I don't know, that sounds okay. I mean, he'll be considerably less than Son and Kane. I mean, just to continue what Jordan was saying, like these prices on Son and Kane and even Kulishevsky, I believe are more than they ever were last season. And like, yeah, I Son at 11.9 is, yeah, he's safe and you'd like to have him. And I think you probably do just have to have him, but like, I agree with you in general, Jordan. It's just, I don't feel great about really anyone else. So it's like, yeah, there's guys you could go to, but there's some uncertainty sort of everywhere. Like no one else besides Tottenham feels like that comfortable. Yeah, there's some decent options that we'll get into. I think you could do it, but yeah, I'm just not sure there's like quite enough. So I'd probably just play Son in cash games for tournaments. Spurs, you know, when they're the biggest favorite on this slate against Southampton, I think it's a really good spot. I think Southampton are in trouble in this spot. You can see Spurs score a lot of goals. So it's a slate where my first thought is to try to play Kane and Son. Last year, Tottenham were on like most of the Sunday slates. It just happened like that. And I tried to play Kane and Son more often than not, and it worked more often than not. I would even be prepared to make some sacrifices and even like try to force them in if it's not necessary, or even if you have to like make some punts or, you know, do some things that are a bit uncomfortable. But at these prices, I just don't see how you can play them together. Like they really have to go off, and, you know, you'd need some expensive defenders to, you know, not have great games. And yeah, it's a tall order with those prices. So I think for tournaments, it's just one. And then Kulishevsky, yeah, I think that's a good tournament play. Definitely. You know, the expensive price tag, just, he's still a lot cheaper than Son and Kane. And he's still, you know, probably has the next best goal and assist ceiling upside of anyone else. I mean, maybe, I guess you could say Callum Wilson, but I believe Richarlison's out as well. So Kulishevsky, you know, is just a little bit safer, maybe 10, 15 extra minutes that Richarlison would have seen. So yeah, that's kind of what I think about Spurs for tournaments.
Yeah. So looking at forwards here, we're going down, we got Son and Kane, and is the move, if you go with one, I mean, I guess even if you fade both those, what if you went with one of them? What if you went with Kane or Son? Would you spend up on another forward? So now we have Callum Wilson at 7,800. It seemed like, I don't know, towards the end of last season, he was always, I don't know, 5K, sub 5K, that kind of thing. Now he's up here at 7,800. Newcastle in the good spot against Nottingham Forest. Recently promoted club. We got guys like Pedro Neto, 7,400. Seems like he's healthy again. Pretty relevant. But then you got other guys, Ollie Watkins and Jaden Anthony, that kind of thing. But Leon Bailey, 4,900 right there. So what's the move? If you go with Son, do you just go straight down to Leon Bailey to save money, or do you put in like some guy that's going to like more likely to score, like a Callum Wilson?
I'm more likely to just play Leon Bailey. You just always have to realize with Bailey, assuming he starts, is that he ain't going to play 90. And we haven't touched on this from an overall perspective. The Premier League has five subs now. Right, it's not three subs anymore. So, like, the substitution risk on the guys that especially are a substitution risk are even more likely. If Aston Villa has five subs, Leon Bailey's coming off the field if he starts at some point, right? Most likely we've seen him at 60, 65 minutes. But at 4,900, he could still pay off for 65 minutes worth of play at that low of a price. Am I thrilled about playing him? No. But to me, my priority on this slate is similar probably to Ryan's. I'm pretty much going to play two, if not three, high-priced defenders on this slate for cash games, and two definitely for GPPs. So prioritizing that means that I can't necessarily pay $7,400 for Pedro Neto or $6,800 for Coutinho. And Coutinho ain't going to probably play 90 either, right? He may go long. He may go 78 or something. I don't think St. Maximin or Wilson are cash viable types of plays at all. Jaden Anthony, okay. I'd rather him be cheaper. I'd rather play Bailey in a favored spot than Anthony in a not Anthony splitting, possibly splitting set pieces. For GPPs, however, we'll talk about it. I think the GPP build is the dinky do, or a modified dinky do. We have forwards on this slate that can score goals that are cheap, and we have midfielders that are high priced that may not be as high owned as they should be because people are going to be playing Son and Kane together. So imagine a lineup where you're playing Kulishevsky, Bruno Guimaraes, and Jack Harrison or something like that in your two midfield and utility spot. And now you have to go down at forward. So who says I can't play Patrick Bamford and Rodrigo as a combination, something like that. Or you look and you play Joe Linton on Newcastle, even though his role is a little bit different now. He's not as attacking. But there are guys down here. I mean, obviously Bailey as well. But you got Almiron at 4,600. I think people aren't going to realize, or maybe they'll finally realize in the first month, Newcastle are a good team. Like, Newcastle are an offensive team that are they going to make the Champions League or anything like that? But I think from a DFS standpoint, I think they're going to score more goals than people think of them as. We saw that at the end of last year. They're a much more dynamic team, much more DFS friendly, and I'd rather take advantage of that, especially against a newly promoted side at home, early before the prices start going up. Ryan, would you somewhat agree with that?
Yeah, like 100%. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. A couple things. We've had a few of these Leon Bailey, you know, chalkish days, and it seems to be heading that way again. I just want to say, in his entire career, he's never scored more than 5 DraftKings points. And in games he's started, I don't even think he's ever got above 4 or 6.
His entire Premier League DraftKings, right?
Correct. We know he was a good player for Leverkusen. He was a very good fantasy player. He's never done it in the Premier League. Now, he's scored some goals in preseason. You know, he's earned a starting role and played well. He's the type of player that should be good for DFS. I don't know if he's going to take any set pieces, but it really doesn't matter for 4,900. Yes, he's going to get subbed early. I agree, there's 5 subs. It's going to have some type of an impact probably as the season goes. And I agree with you about Newcastle. I'm just looking. If Almiron starts for 4,600, I mean, I don't know if it's going out on a limb here, but to me, he's just a much better play than Leon Bailey. Like, less ownership, more likely to assist, probably even a higher floor. I mean, so yeah, but as far as like the dinky do, yeah, Jordan, if you make that construction with Kulusevski and either Bruno or Harrison or both, I mean, no one is going to do that. You could win a tournament. I think people would be surprised how easy you could win a tournament if Kane and Son, like, you know, if they don't score, if they both score 12 or something. I mean, yeah, that's a really good construction for tournaments.
Speaking of the dinky-do here, I guess I'll get into my analysis of this Tottenham match here. I think the general view is, I mean, we look at the odds, Tottenham a big favorite. Ryan already mentioned this is a great spot. I mean, you look at it on the surface, Southampton tend to struggle. They didn't really add anyone here over the summer. But, I mean, you look at last year's results. Southampton won 3-2 at Tottenham. Prior match, 1-1, James Ward-Prowse. Pretty solid games. For the two matches, Kane and Son combined for 2 goals and no assists. Basically, they didn't hit their value at these prices. So, if you know, repeat happens, then, you know, you don't really need those guys. But I'm going straight down here to Adam Armstrong at 3,800. This is the pure dinky-do. If he starts for Southampton, I mean, Southampton, I think they scored five straight matches, six straight matches. Sorry, it's going further. Maybe 10 straight, 15 straight. Just could keep going down the list. They score every time they play Tottenham. I know Conte's there. He got a full offseason. But if Adam Armstrong starts, he's 3,800. No one's going to look at him because Tottenham are the biggest favorite. But what do you think, Jordan? Dink you do right there? Or is that not your route?
I think you're nuts. I mean, I'm going like you're using things of like, well, why don't we take a look at the last time Newcastle and Nottingham Forest played?
Which these are the same managers. These are the same teams. This is the same Southampton team that played.
Oh,
Tottenham
so it happened
season.
Once before. It has to happen again. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying it's not a given that Tottenham are going to win 3-0.
No, I'm not saying that it's a given, but I'm not saying to just say, well, whatever happened in the past two times, that's more likely to happen. No, it's
you said dinky do in tournaments, Adam Armstrong.
Why do you have to go all the way down there? Dinky. I'm talking about dinky doing with like with Rodrigo and with Joe Linton or Almiron or whoever. I mean, Solanke and Watkins at 6,400 or something.
Yeah, Rodrigo. Rodrigo seems like a great dinky dude. Like that's who I'd look at first, like a guy like that. Adam, to your point though, if you're thinking about fading Spurs, this is the time to do it. I mean, like you said, of course they're not guaranteed to go off if it, you know, goes the way it did last year, but just it's their prices too. So like there's multiple reasons to fade those two. So
but it doesn't mean to play Southampton.
Right. It doesn't mean to do with Armstrong. I wouldn't do that.
Have scored in 15 straight matches against Tottenham.
Okay. So are you going to play all their players? Are you going to play all of Southampton's players if you want every team to make sure you get the goal?
Obviously, I'm not. I'm just saying. Why are we paying? I don't know. Why are we paying for Miguel Almiron, who scores one goal per season, who's, you know, 1K more than Adam Armstrong? I mean, okay, I know he's favored, but he's a guy who's going to get 60 minutes. So,
okay, look, I see your point. Okay, Almiron, yeah, one goal in 30 last season. I get it, but I don't know. Newcastle is going to have all of the ball and all of the chances. Southampton probably, you know, won't have many. I don't know. I mean, you can play Armstrong if you want, but, you know, there's not many spots a year to, you know, play a guy like Almiron. These are the ones. So, like, I'm not going to take a wild shot on Adam Armstrong to, like, hopefully score on Southampton's one counterattack.
To back up Adam.
Okay? What?
I'm looking at the fact that I'm backing him up. Okay. Okay. I have to be objective on both sides. Looking at the RotoWire cheat sheet, which obviously you could get if you're a RotoWire subscriber, it's so cheap. I do not understand why you wouldn't. It should be way more. The amount of stats and formatted, like, you literally just need the cheat sheet. And it has all the stats. Now, obviously, in the first game of the season, you don't get all the, like, the season-long stats in there. But you can go back and go with the game logs and every – I mean, like, you could look through all of this on, like, who scored. Or so score everything, it will take you forever. It's on 8 million screens. You want everything on one screen on RotoWire. It's like pen. If you could find the change in your couch, no one uses cash anymore, but you'll still be able to find the change in your couch. I mean, it should be four times as much money. I'll pay for it forever. I mean, the fact I'm on the show and I still pay for it. Andrew was supposed to take care of that and I still pay for it. And I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I pretty much never use anything besides RotoWire for soccer. I mean, it's really like pretty much all you need and it's very cheap.
Let me make the point then to back up Adam. Everyone's looking at him like he's nuts. Adam Armstrong. How do you play Adam Armstrong?
Same first name.
For the biggest underdog. According to the cheat sheet, he's plus 390 to score. Plus 390, that's 20%. Okay. Podence and Neto are plus 430 to score. Now, of course, Neto and Podence have higher, like, peripheral floors, right? Adam Armstrong doesn't. Bruno Guimaraes, plus 380 to score. Of course, much higher peripheral floor, But just from a goal scoring perspective, like, it's not, not Jack Harrison is plus 470. But of course, yeah. Jack Harrison can put up 15 points without a goal. Like that, that's really, when you're playing Adam Armstrong, you're playing specifically for a goal, and that's the only way he gets there. The difference between him and other guys that you could play is that they could get 7-8 points. They could get other, there are other ways for them to get to 10. Armstrong is kind of like, Tottenham is going to have most of the possession. So it's like Armstrong is going to probably even get two fouls committed. He's going to end up with a Cavani if he scores with a 10.5 points or something. So
yeah, I think I was a little harsh, actually. That price tag's really cheap. You know, I think I was a little harsh, Adam. I'm not just saying that because the midfielders for that price tag, there are none, basically. You know, maybe one or two. There are no cheap forwards. So Armstrong could even probably make the optimal lineup with like an assist and 8 points, 9 points. You wouldn't even need the guy who scored because he won't be owned. That's a good price tag to take a shot on something like that.
Before we get to midfielders, we haven't really mentioned Patrick Bamford here, sitting at 6,200, fourth best odds to score. He's back. He's apparently 100%. He was never 100% last season. I mean, two seasons ago, he was awesome for Leeds, and just a guy here that kind of stands out just to me personally here on this slate at 6,200. But as you scroll through the list, you can see that DraftKings actually changed some positions up, and you see guys like Joel Linton are now forward eligible, and I think Ollie Watkins now is midfield eligible, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So something, if you haven't looked through things, something to keep in mind when putting together lineups. But you guys have anything else for forwards here?
All I know is that Bamford, I'm going to roster Bamford at some point in this, the first 6 weeks of the season, and he's going to get injured 12 minutes in.
Yeah, probably.
When he doesn't do well and he ends up, Leeds are a big favorite for some odd reason, and they price Bamford at 4,200, like that Chris Wood, Ashley Barnes type of price where it's like, well, forward sucks, so let me punt there with Bamford. He ends up being like 47% owned and comes off in the 12th minute with some ankle injury or something.
I will say that now that after one season, he's labeled as injury prone. You just look at two seasons ago, he played in every match and had 17 goals and 7 assists. He started 37 matches. So two seasons ago, wasn't injury prone. Now he's injury prone because, you know, he had a bunch of issues last season. So we'll see how the season goes. But midfielders. So Richarlison's out, and I think that's pretty big for Kulishevsky, because those guys don't have to split time in this match. Richarlison is suspended. So I think that's pretty relevant, and it helps the case of Kulishevsky. But, of course, we can't not mention James Ward-Prowse here, 8,500 at Tottenham. I guess he's the play. If you take the Adam Armstrong route, maybe he's the guy that you stack with James Ward-Prowse and Adam Armstrong together. You could take that route.
Hold on, Adam. Did Ward-Prowse score a goal in the past two games against Tottenham?
He had 2 assists and had 31 points, and then he had a goal and 17 points in the prior
one. Lock him in. If it happened the past two times, has to happen again.
I mean, to be fair, that happens like every game for Ward-Prowse. So, you know. Okay.
I don't think he's a cash play. I mean, I'm not touching him at 8,500 as the biggest underdog, but, I mean, he's a set-piece taker. They're going to be probably playing from behind, which means more crosses. And if they get a penalty, he takes the penalty. I mean, like, I don't think it's nuts to play him in GPP on this slate, especially if you're fading Tottenham. Like,
no, I don't think it's nuts to play him in GPP either. I mean, he's amazing at free kicks. He scored a ton of them last year, and he takes penalties. There's also not a crazy amount of opportunity cost. I mean, if Kulusevski and Harrison don't do it, I mean, there's not that much else in that range.
Well, Bruno, you got Bruno Guimarães there.
Oh, sorry, Bruno. Yeah, you know, dude, and that's like me forgetting about Bruno. That's what's, you know, going to happen on Saturday with me and everyone else, and people aren't going to play him. So
if he scores, his goals are just like the most random things. Just
he's a good player. He was great last season, and Newcastle, you know, have been really good. So it's not going to shock me when he scores. He's in the box all the time. Adam, though, this Adam Armstrong play, just to touch on it once more, I would not pair him with Ward-Prowse. Okay. That is not
too much
to do, I don't think. Yeah, they I don't really think they assist to each other. I mean, Ward-Prowse's assists come from mostly set pieces. And yeah, it's like two different games. If you roster Armstrong and Ward-Prowse, how are you going to get it's tough to get the floor from Ward-Prowse and the goal from Armstrong. I don't know. But yeah, anyways, go on. Yeah, about
higher up in midfield, you guys mentioned Bruno. 7,900 is just an incredible amount for really a guy who just seemed to score random goals last season. And he seems like a John McGinn, but he's not going to be taking set pieces. And he's, 7,900 seems like a lot. We got Potence right there, 8,000. I think people will have to make a decision between Harrison and Brendan Aaronson. That's 7,500, 7,200. Could split set pieces for Leeds. I guess Ryan Fraser right here, 6,900. So who stands out to you guys right here? Does anyone really stand out to actually spend up on these midfielders right here?
It depends on what type of construction. If you're playing Son and Kane in your lineup, you ain't looking at these guys. Like, mm-hmm. You ain't fitting these guys in. I think the safest, the highest floor is Jack Harrison. With Rafinha gone and Dallas out and Phillips gone, like, I have to expect Harrison. I mean, he's at least going to have half the set pieces. He may have a monopoly of them.
Sorry, Ryan mentioned this in an article, but do you guys like him that much more than Brendan Aaronson? Because it seems like they're going to split set pieces. Aaronson took corners in previous preseason games. He had 3 assists in a game. What makes Harrison better than Aaronson? Just because we know what he plays like in the league, kind of a thing?
Yeah, and we also know that more likely in this lineup that Harrison plays 90 minutes.
Okay.
Right? I would have to think. I mean, there's no certainty in this range anyway. I mean, it's not like, oh, you got to plug in Harrison. It's just that I feel more comfortable with Harrison in comparison. I wish Perisic was going to play tomorrow, because 8,200 for a wing back, I just wanted to see how owned he would be, because it would be one of those things where it's so egregious that I almost want to play him for 2% ownership.
Yep.
Or maybe people wouldn't realize that he's essentially a wing.
That's the annoying part, because I have thoughts to do that quite a bit, and then you always come back to, well, enough people won't realize, and they'll just play him anyway. So like, what am I really doing?
If he starts, he's going to get 55 or 60 minutes. So
right,
just letting people know.
If 60 minutes starts for a Tottenham wing back at 8,200, not even in a defender spot. Yeah, good luck with that. But it doesn't look like he's going to start anyway. So whatever happens, happens. I don't feel like, to me, the midfield spot, I don't feel comfortable with any, like the defender, I feel comfortable, right? Forward, I'm used to not feeling comfortable, right? I'm used to playing. Okay, forward is kind of like, I got to punt here. I got to pay up just to have someone. But it's quite possible none of these guys score enough. I mean, it's still... It's quite possible. No, the midfielders are who randomly gets goals. That's who wins the GPP. I feel that the range that I feel more comfortable with, oddly enough, is like the 5K range. I feel like guys like John McGinn and Ryan Christie have almost as much of a floor as the 7K guys anyway. They have less of a ceiling, and I don't want to have to go down even further. You missed him. You missed Ryan. You missed him in your article.
I know.
4,200, Joe Moutinho.
Yeah.
Right. But what's the worst case? I mean, the problem with Wolves is that sometimes they move their set pieces around. But in the end of last year, Moutinho was on pretty much all of them. Aiton Ri wasn't taking as many.
He was actually splitting with Nato.
Depending on if Nato's in the game.
Yeah.
But it felt like, if the position is bad as it is, I'd be more likely to pay down. So like, looking at Moutinho and Christie and McGinn, like, I feel like if I could put two of those in my midfield spots, I could pay up 3 times at defender and pay up at goalkeeper for Lloris. And maybe I don't even bother with any of these like higher priced Aaronson or Harrison, or I just don't even bother. If I had to choose, probably Harrison. But Adam, you do make the point of like, the only reason, what's the difference between Harrison and Aaronson, other than the fact that obviously we haven't seen Aaronson in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And also we also haven't seen Jesse Marsh in the Premier League.
Right. Well, so like for a couple months. For maybe a month, I guess.
Right, but I'm just saying it's not like especially Leeds. Leeds last year always played weird that this weird system, this like this stacked, like it wasn't, it's like a 4-2-2-2-2-2. It's like 2-2-2. Like wingbacks, no, the fullbacks weren't really fullbacks.
It was 3-3-3-1. That's what they played.
Okay, yeah. It was some they moved around. Stuart Dallas, you never knew where he was playing. It didn't depend on where the sofa score put him in the lineup. Didn't mean anything. So it's like, if that's going to change, like we're not even sure of what Leeds is going to do. I'm not a big fan of playing teams against Wolves personally. Typically, they limit fantasy production. It's not a different Wolves team. It's pretty much the same Wolves team from last year. So, like, by default, Harrison is the choice, but truthfully, I'd rather play defenders on this slate. So, like, if I find a way, like, these 5K, 4K midfielders, I'm just not sure if any midfield... For GPP, I love these guys. For GPP, the 7K range, Kulishevsky and Bruno and Harrison and Aaronson, all up the Frazier, you know, even Coutinho in a midfield spot. I love this range for GPPs, but I'm just not sure if the floor to pay like 50% more for what, an extra 2 points of floor. I mean, how much higher floor do they have over McGinn or Christie or even Matinho?
Yeah. Just to touch on the Aaronson Harrison thing. So Adam, when you confer, Aaronson was taking some set pieces in the preseason.
Yeah, he had three assists in their last friendly against Cagliari, I believe, and at least one of those was off a corner.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so when I wrote my article, I hadn't checked Leeds preseason sets, so I was guessing.
Luckily, the editor fixed that for you. So
okay, nice. I was guessing on who was going to take them, but you know, if I'm going in assuming that it's a split between Aaronson and Harrison, yeah, like I don't like Harrison better. I would say they're equal. I think Aaronson is probably a better player than Harrison, and his future prospects are probably better for this season going forward. I don't know if that's going to be the case now. But yeah, if they're splitting sets, you know, they're about equal to take your pick, really.
That also takes out that if Aaronson's taking splitting over that side, that like Mark Rocha's
not right.
Right.
That would mean Mark Rocha's not. And yeah, I could see Wolves, you know, yeah, it wouldn't be surprising at all to see like if Wolves controlled this game, like away from home and just looked like the better team with all these new guys on Leeds. Yeah, I mean that it's like the spine of their team they don't even have anymore with Calvin Phillips in the middle, with Dallas in there, Rafinha, you know, you could see them struggling. So yeah, I'm not like going crazy to roster them. But yeah, I agree with Jordan. Not much jumps out. I think those 7K guys are great GPP plays, and Kulusevski as well. And then, yeah, sorry for not mentioning Matinho. I mean, you can tell right there that I don't play cash at all. I wrote an article on Matinho. Like, it never even came into my head to look at how much João Matinho was or if I should. I just totally forgot.
Yeah, to that Leeds point, I do want to say that even though there isn't cohesion, like they've looked okay in preseason. Obviously, that doesn't mean everything. But also, Calvin Phillips played in 20 matches last season because he was injured so often. So while he was one of their best players, they still have, you know, half a season of him not
playing. Yeah, most of those games he didn't play in, it feels like they gave up like 4 or 5 goals and Bielsa got fired.
Well, that was a Bielsa thing where things just went off the rails a little bit. But I was even if there's no set pieces for Rocha at 3,200, like that's the Calvin Phillips range here. And I mean, you got, if people are going to play Calvin Phillips in a 10-game slate at the end of last season, are they going to play Mark Rocha at the same price in a 4-game slate?
I mean, I'm trying to decide, to be honest, if I'm going to play Mark Rocha. Like, I'm just going to say, like, he's a – without any sets, it's probably a bad play. Like, most of the time he's going to score you 2 or 3 probably. But But like, there's some unknowns. You know, don't know how the game's going to go. It's very cheap. And if he scores you 7 or 8, you can win a tournament with that just because it lets you get to different constructions. So, I mean, Rocha could score you 5 or 6. And if both your defenders are the highest scoring defenders and you have, I don't know, Kane and Kulusevski, like that type of construction can win a tournament with a Mark Rocha, you know, if there's not any good punts in that range and he's the only one. But like a lot of times and probably more often than not, it's probably going to be a losing play. Like when he scores you 2 or 3 and your other line in the rest of your lineup, like doesn't hit ceilings, like that's how you lose a lot of times. So it's tough.
What about Ryan Christie? Like I'm looking at like, if I had a choice, I like Christie and McGinn more than playing Matinho at all. Like if I'm playing like Bailey in my second forward spot,
do you like McGinn with no sets though?
It's 53. I mean, okay, let's not. But how about Ryan? How about Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest are obviously recently promoted. We haven't really talked much about either of them. Like Christie's going to take at least half of the set pieces. He's playing forward on the wing. He's 5,200. Like he's plus 320 to score, which isn't that bad for that type of price. Better than Adam Armstrong. Like, why not him? They're playing at home at Bournemouth.
I think a lot of people are going to think that, and maybe it's correct. I guess I thought initially that he didn't have quite enough upside. I mean, he scored 3 goals last year in 38 games in the Champions League. Doesn't shoot that much, gets subbed. Like, I think you need him to assist or score.
Yeah, can he has do the it? Second yeah, best goal scoring odds on his team.
To go further,
you can play him. You can play him. I don't love it. There's one other thing though. Now that we're on Bournemouth, okay, and talking about the sets and stuff, they signed earlier this week. They signed Marcus Tavernier. They signed Marcus Tavernier from Rangers. He took Rangers penalties last year. He took almost all of Rangers' sets. He scored with free kicks. He took the corners. Unfortunately, they have him listed as midfielder, and I don't know if he's going to start, but he might not start. He probably won't start, but if he's on the bench, he's coming on. And when he comes on, I mean, if I had to bet, I'd say he takes set pieces over Anthony and Christie. I mean, so maybe he'll split with one of them. Not that that matters really if he doesn't start, but it might a little. I don't know. Yeah, Ryan Christie's fine, Jordan. I don't know. I'm just not like excited about it.
I just want to continue this Bournemouth conversation because it's a must. You know, 8-game slate, Bournemouth. Got to talk about him. But Philip Billing.
Yes, you got him. You read my mind.
4,300.
Philip Billing at Huddersfield. Philip Billing. If I'm getting Huddersfield, Philip Billing, all I know is that he will score a goal whenever he's 2% owned, and like there, for no apparent reason. And anytime that happens, I play him the week after, and he scores a point and a half.
I just want to say, like, when we saw him last in the Premier League, it felt like he was mostly a defensive midfielder. He played as an attacking midfielder a lot of times last season. He had 10 goals. He had 10 assists. And he's 1,100 cheaper than Christie is. There's no set pieces, obviously, but there you go.
Give me the Billing Christie Solanke stack.
Good call, Adam. I'll be playing Billing for sure. Billing is a good GPP option. Absolutely.
One more promoted guy. Well, not promoted guy, but Jesse Lingard. Is there any thought to playing him in this matchup?
Yeah, there's thought. I think he like could be okay, but I think he'll get some ownership. Probably not for me, but it makes sense. It makes sense.
What's the set piece situation on Nottingham Forest? Is it like I mean, it seems like it just like it's could be multiple guys.
Yeah, I think Jack Colback will take the left footed ones. Maybe Lingard, like could
Brennan Johnson.
Maybe Brennan Johnson. He's a good player too. I mean, I think Joe Lolley takes them, but he's not in the projected starters. Yeah, and I mean, I was thinking about that too. They probably won't have that many, so I didn't worry about it too much. I'm kind of just not worried about it. I mean, if you're playing a Nottingham Forest guy, I don't think you're playing him to get like a 10-point floor, at least this week. So I just wouldn't worry about it.
All right, so midfielders, that's done. I think.
Oh, I got one more. I got one more, actually. I just saw. It's not for this week, but since we were talking about Southampton, I guess it could be this week for somebody, but it won't be for me. Southampton did almost no business this summer. You know, a lot of people picked them to get relegated, but they made a great signing in Joe Aribo. He's 4,600 midfielder. I've seen him projected to like start as the second forward even. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not going to play him against Tottenham, but I think they signed him for 10 or 12 million or something. And I think he's better than that. Like I wouldn't have hated if even Arsenal signed him. I think like he has that much potential. He was great last year for Rangers. He's got goals in him. So yeah, consider a Rebo on other slates with Southampton going forward.
Yeah, if you've been keeping up with Southampton preseason, they posted a clip of him like dribbling through like 10 people or something in one of their friendlies. I don't know who it was against, but
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
there's
I saw
a clip that.
Yeah, he's really talented. Can score all different types of goals.
Yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so defender, I think, is just, this is a pure Ryan Belongi slate. I mean, on original build, it's just like, you're probably going to plug three defenders in. You got to have the two top guys here. We're going to get to Trippier here. We got Lucas Digne. We'll see about Matt Target. He's up there, 5,600. Those are the three guys, really, because Ait Nouri no longer on set pieces, or that's the guess. But you got to think. So, Ryan, you talked about, you know, your core plays last week. Is you think Trippier and Digne or Target?
Hold on. Sorry. Big mistake by me. Bournemouth signed the other Tavernier. I was right. They didn't sign James Tavernier. They signed Marcus Tavernier from Middlesbrough, who took the sets for Middlesbrough last year and who probably will take sets, but this isn't James Tavernier from Rangers.
I was just
looking into it. I was like, something didn't seem right.
It didn't seem right to me either. You were talking about it. I'm like, are you sure?
I was like, wait. Yeah, okay. Sorry, Marcus Tavernier.
He still took 144 corners last season for Middlesbrough, so there you go.
Right. I mean, sorry, it's the set-piece guy. You know, he took all of Middlesbrough's corners last year and, like, will take some for Bournemouth. So similar kind of thing, just wrong Tavernier. My bad.
But Ryan, for defense, can you tell me any compelling reason why I don't just plug in Trippier, Target, and Dean into my lineup and just move on?
No, not really. Like, the only thing is...
Are you guys that sold on Target?
Yeah. What, are you kidding me?
Why do we love Target so much?
Well, okay. I'm glad you say that, because why is Trippier so much better? There's really only one reason, and Trippier will take a couple shots. They, you know, people might disagree with me on this. I don't think they're much different from open play. Like, at all, really. So yeah, Trippier might take a couple shots. But like if they were the same price, then sure. But that 1100 might be important.
What am I missing here? Trippier is going to be taking set pieces. That's the difference.
Target two.
Target also.
They're splitting.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, target's left footed. Like they're going to split all year. They just have to, basically.
So you guys are more on target.
No,
I want both of them. I want all of them. I want my cake and eat it too. I want all. Why not? Just play. I prefer target at 5,600 to Ryan Christie at 5,200. I mean, like these defenders are, the DraftKings does not price the defenders properly. They have never priced the defenders properly. That these guys, I mean, with the clean sheet equity, like why wouldn't I be, to me, it seems almost obvious. If I could fit all three in, I'm fitting all three in.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like there's not like a, there's not someone that I want to play instead of them. Like there's no one in the 4K range or the 3K range that I think is like good enough value to not play them, I guess. For cash games, yeah, I think like those three stand out. You just play them. They're better than the 5K midfielders in that range.
Assuming Wolves play with three center backs and Johnny's on the wing.
Yeah.
You don't like Johnny at 4,400?
I think, yeah, the price. I think that price is okay for tournaments for sure.
Okay.
I think he's, yeah. I think Johnny's okay. I mean, he's okay.
Yeah.
But it's just like he does not have the floor that those three other defenders. I mean, those other defenders have 10-point floors. So
yeah, Johnny is more for the goal or an assist. And like you said, if they play with wing backs, that's big for Johnny's viability.
I guess we have to have a conversation about the Tottenham wingbacks here. Are you guys considering playing them? It seems like no matter who starts, they're going to be getting 60 minutes because they're too deep.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think no matter whoever starts, I think there's two backups that are going to be on the bench. I mean, on the right side, they have Doherty, Royale, and they just signed Jed Spence. On the left side, they have Perisic, Reguilon, Sessegnon. I mean, I can't imagine playing a Spurs wingback. Now, you know, like that being said, if those guys weren't on the bench and you thought like Doherty or any of them, were going to get 90 minutes, like if you told me any of these Spurs wingbacks were going to get 90 minutes, I would maybe want to play them over these set piece guys. Like it's a good spot and they have a lot of goal and assist equity, but like as it stands, that's tough when they're going to play like about 55 minutes. So it's one of those weird spots where when the guy like might be the best play if he would play 90 minutes, but you're almost not even considering him because of the bench. Yeah, that's a tough one for me, but I'll probably not go there.
Ryan, I have a question about Leeds defenders. Stroik and Christensen are not fullbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as like their natural position, do we just like, are, I just want to highlight the fact, and if you agree with me, that people look at SofaScore, they'll look at the formations and go, oh, look, cheap full, because people look for cheap fullbacks. Like Stroik and Christensen are not those types of
fullbacks. Why isn't Christensen a fullback?
I mean, he'll play as a fullback.
He is a right back, though. That's where he played at his prior club.
Is he an attacking fullback? I'm talking. Yeah, Adam Smith is a fullback also. But does that make him a real fullback? I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
I see what you're saying. No, yeah, Jordan. Yeah, no, we don't want to roster. Like Stroik for sure. Stroik is a center back that they're sitting there, you know, putting there because they have to. You know, people try to roster him in these spots last year and he was 2,500, 3K or whatever. So no, Christensen. Yeah. He's just too expensive. I mean, he is more of a right back. Like he gets up and down the wing, he crosses, but he's not like super attacking. And yeah, he's not even in consideration. So yeah, that's a good point.
And then Colback maybe playing as a wing back for Nottingham Forest, but he's midfield eligible.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he'll get like 4 or 5 points. Maybe there seems to be no upside there. He would have to get the assist from the corner.
Who are we going here? Is there any reason for a punt defender? I mean, this is a slate where you just pay up for defender. So is there any reason to go down here? I guess before we get into this, I want to say, Jordan, that Shane Duffy is now on Fulham. He just got loaned to Fulham today. So that'll be something we have to talk about on future slates.
No, but I got the cheap one for you.
Okay.
Okay. You say it's Southampton 5, Tottenham 0, right? You say you're going to roster James Ward-Prowse. Why not Jan Bednarik? Brace, not even a goal, a brace. Corner kick brace, two assists from Ward-Prowse. Why not?
All right, you're taking this bit way too far.
It's a good bit. You're the one that started it early last year. You started doubting center backs. So why not continue?
We got Tyrone Mings at 2,800. Willie Boley, 2,700. Anyone tasty?
Oh, the Matinho Boley stack. Oh, that sounds appealing.
Diego Llorente, 2,900. Home favorite. I mean, there you go.
I mean, do you want me to, like, throw a guy out there? Like,
Throw a guy out here. What do you got?
You know, like, if you had to.
Say
this
it.
This Jordan Zamora is a decent player for Bournemouth, like a decent prospect. He scored 3 goals last year. They use fullbacks, so, like, he will be up there. You know, he'll probably score a couple goals this season. You know, it's the Johnny position. It's that, you know, the wingback position. So I'm probably not going to do it, but it doesn't seem like the worst thing.
He's not that cheap. He's $3,900.
No. I mean, yeah, he's not that cheap.
Right. He's not a $2,600 guy.
It's like a, you know, sort of like a winger playing at home. So, like, you know, they have goal assist equity.
I could already sense my GPP lineup rounding out. It's going to be Travers in goal, Zamora, Solanke, Billing, Christie. Why not hold a Bournemouth stack? Why not? Just play 5 of them. I think out of all the teams on the slate that compared to their ownership that I would want to play 3 guys from, to me, Bournemouth is the, like, Newcastle 1. Like, I think Tottenham, it's like, everything goes through Son and Kane. Like, everything either goes through Son and Kane or everything is correlated with Son or Kane. So, like, even if you are playing other guys, like, most likely one of the other two got the assist or the goal on anything like that. So, to me, if you're playing Tottenham, you're probably playing at least one of Son or Kane. But I think people may pair Target and Trippier with Callum Wilson only because I think the Newcastle fullbacks will be popular. And I think Dean paired with, like, Ollie Watkins, because Dean is going to be popular. But, like, imagine playing, like Leeds, combination of, I mean, I don't know who you play a defender, but, like, that's why I look and I go, compared to all of this, it's like, I don't see anyone on Bournemouth getting that much owner. I mean, it's not like they're going to be unowned, but they're playing at home. Like, it's not that, Aston Villa is not that big of a favorite. I mean, right. Like, what's the line on this game? I mean, Aston Villa is, yeah, I mean, like, what? 1.51 to 1.09? I mean, it's not, they're an away favorite by a little bit.
Like, so we're on the same page, Jordan.
Okay, it just feels weird to me because I go through all these Bournemouth players and going, well, I don't see many people playing any of them. Like, just, like, I don't see any of these players on Bournemouth getting more than 10% ownership.
Yeah, I guess I never even mentioned it when we were at forward, but I have interest in playing Solanke and Anthony for tournaments. Yeah, definitely. I love the home spot for these promoted teams. You see it all the time. They should come out flying. I mean, Solanke scored a ton of goals last year. He just signed a new contract extension a couple days ago. You know, a lot of people remember him for his failed career at Liverpool. But, you know, he was young then. So it's not going to shock me at all if Bournemouth scored 2 goals at home against Villa in this spot.
I wouldn't mind stacking this game. I mean, to me, why not? Because I like the prices on the Villa side. So, like,
you can have Dean as a run back.
Right. No, well, you could have Dean and Watkins, Dean, yeah, and McGinn. I mean, like, you could play 5 guys from the, like, if I was going to play any game as a whole, I like the Bournemouth Aston Villa game. Like, I prefer Newcastle. Like, my top team as far as GPPs on the slate is Newcastle. but I just don't like really anyone on Nottingham Forest. And I think the picking off ones and twosies from Leeds, I like. I'm not a big fan of this game. I think it, from a probabilistic standpoint, I think the lowest scoring game is Leeds Wolves. And from a highest scoring perspective, I think Tottenham 1, Newcastle 2, but that's reflected obviously in the odds. But from a game perspective, I think, you know, Bournemouth Aston Villa could be 3-2.
Yeah, agreed.
Just to further this point, Aston Villa last season opened at Watford. They lost 3-2. So there you go.
Oh, and because it happened last year. Oh.
But there you go.
Did Armstrong score in that game too? Did they come across the...
I'm just saying it's possible. People are going to look at this and be like, Aston Villa, they're better than Bournemouth, so they're going to win 2-0. I'm just saying it's possible.
I'm with you.
I'm giving the people reasoning.
Okay. So, yeah, I got to go back to this just real quick. So Marcus Tavernier and James Tavernier, they're brothers. They look the same. They both take almost a monopoly of set pieces for their respective teams. So,
Okay, now we know.
Does DraftKings have a slate with the Scottish Premier League in it?
Yeah, like we always roster the Rangers guy in Europa League. I mean, like all the time.
I just want to see if there's going to be a slate where both brothers are going to be on the slate at the same time.
That would be hard. I don't think Bournemouth will have any international matches.
Probably not. So goalkeeper here, let's get to it. Hugo Lloris and Nick Pope / Dubravka have about the same odds for a clean sheet, just over 40%. Do you guys want to spend on them? Do you want to spend up at goalkeeper on this slate?
I mean, yeah, I would. I want to. I don't know if I don't know if I can. I mean, I wrote in the article if you're fading some of Spurs, it'd be okay to spend the money there, but you still might not even be able to. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. It depends. Is there any value? Is there enough value that you like? I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
The fact that the clean sheet percentages for Tottenham and Newcastle are quite close, even though Tottenham has better win chances.
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised to see that.
Right. I'm not opposed if you don't have the money. Because a lot of times on a lot of these slates where it's like, where the top price goalkeeper is heavily more favored than even the second price goalkeeper. And I'm like, well, there's no point in playing for Pope. Just find the 300 and get Lloris. I think on this slate, if you don't have the 300, I think Pope is fine. I'd prefer, obviously the win odds are worth the extra 300. So I'd rather get to Lloris, but I think that either you're paying up for Lloris or Pope, or you're probably either playing like Jose Sa at 4,600 or Travers. Typically, if you're going to pay down, the cheapest home goalkeeper is never a bad shot in soccer, where home field advantage matters a little bit more than most other sports.
Yep.
Yeah, just fill out your Bournemouth stack. You got Travers right there, so pretty easy.
Yeah, no, I agree. Those are the guys I'm going to be playing.
I also want to highlight another thing. If you're playing small field contests, this is more of a small field strategy or cash games. Let's say, for instance, you're not going to play Sun in cash. I think it's more important to play Lloris.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've highlighted this before about like Sun, the goal scoring of a team is correlated to the goalkeeper's points as far as a win and a clean sheet is concerned. So like if Lloris gets 10 or 12 points and the teams that have Sun and Kane in it, most likely can't have Lloris. I mean, like, it's hard to pay up a goalkeeper when you're paying like nearly half your salary on two players. So like from a blocking standpoint, so if you're going to if I choose to not play Sun in my lineup, I would definitely in cash, I would not play. I would play Lloris because if Sun scores, it's more likely that Lloris gets 12 points also. And that kind of like cancels each other out. But if I have Sun in my lineup, then I don't feel as I don't care about the correlation in cash games or small field stuff as much. So if you're not going to play Sun or Kane, it's not a matter of Tottenham losing. That's why the whole point with Adam Armstrong before is like, well, if you're not going to play anyone on Tottenham, it doesn't mean that Southampton win. It just means that Tottenham win 1-0 on a goal from a substitute or something that it doesn't go through Sun or Kane. So Lloris could still have 10, 12, 14 points anyway. So don't necessarily just avoid the situation. Don't be, oh, if I'm not playing Tottenham, I can't play any players. It's like Lloris could still be the highest scoring goalkeeper on the slate.
Yeah, definitely. Good points.
All right, you guys got anything else? We talked about a lot here. We talked about a lot about the Tavernier brothers. We talked a lot about Southampton. We talked a lot about Bournemouth. You guys have anything else?
I don't think. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got one thing, actually. Guy that we didn't mention that might that could win you a tournament. Jordan briefly mentioned that Newcastle were his favorite team for GPPs. They might be mine, too. And Alan St. Max for 7K. It's really not going to have the amount of ownership that a 7K forward should have for a home matchup against Nottingham Forest. So, yeah, I'll have some of him. That's a spot that could win it for you.
Here's my bold call, just for you, Adam. It's going to be a James Ward-Prowse corner. It's going to be a near post flick by Jan Bednarik.
I thought this was going to be a real bold call. This is a fake bold call.
Of course it's a fake bold call. I don't have real bold calls.
You did once last season. I don't remember what it was, but it was something.
But I'm waiting for the Adam Armstrong to Jan Bednarik goal. Like that's going to just put everyone on tilt.
All right. I don't got anything else. I already gave my Adam Armstrong. So, all right, guys, thanks for watching. Like and subscribe. YouTube, Twitter, podcast form, rotowire.com/soccer trial, free 10-day trial, as Jordan mentioned before. Use this cheat sheet. Use our stats, even though the stats aren't on this cheat sheet because this is the first week of the season. You can click right here. You can see the goal odds. You just click on a player. You can see what they did last season, what they did 5 seasons ago. You got the game log right here. Scroll through. You just got to click DraftKings. You can see their points right there. Pretty easy. As Jordan said, it takes you days.
The team pages are the best because the team pages will show you all the logs of all the games and like what positions they were in, whether what stats, what if they took corners, crosses. It'll give you all that information on the team pages. So even if you're playing like an interleague slate and it's like, well, I don't really know the Bundesliga. It's like, well, you can just go to rotowire.com and go, let me take a look at the team.
There you go. All that good stuff. You can look around. You see these drop downs. I made a video a little bit ago just showing all the stuff we have here. But thanks for joining me. Jordan Cooper at BlenderHD. Ryan Belongi at Ryan Belongi. Good luck to everyone for Saturday's slate at DraftKings. We will see everyone next week. And I guess I am Roto's Droik. I forgot to mention. My first name is Adam, as in Adam Armstrong. So there you go. Good luck, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.